Okay, let's look ahead to the future in general, maybe a year, maybe 10 years. What's the future of the media? We're sitting in a studio. There are microphones, there are screens, there are people behind glass, there's a whole bunch of people way beyond them. They're all planning other future programs. Whereas we know that what's happening is there's a rise and rise and rise of online everything. There's going to be satellite communication of everything. Things will be instant. What's the future? Let's talk about newspapers, radio, television. What's the future of the media?
I think the technology, where technology meets journalism, is going to be the place that's going to explode. That's in that Venn diagram, if you like. I think that's where the action's going to be. I think that we are going to consume more news on our telephones, I think, without a doubt. That will also act as a driver for how we gather the news and how we disseminate it. But oddly enough, it's a bit like people thought that the videos, when they were introduced, would just mean the death of cinema. In fact, it drove production. Or in the first place that showed up was in the business model of pornography in the west coast of America. And that has carried on in many ways, because what's interesting now is that people are now accessing in the private handheld devices, if it's the news they're interested in, that's how they're doing it. They're utilising all the technology on it to gather the news and then disseminate it. But what's interesting is there is now a huge industry for journalists in checking, acting as gate checkers, acting as the verifiable fact checkers of all the material that's been gathered. It's a bit like the spying business, which has got huge technology and gathered in gigantic swathes of evidence. But what's actually happened is now the business of spying has changed to actually filtering it and checking it. It's not gathering it, that's easy. It's actually checking it. And in journalism, I think what you're going to see is more use of user-generated content, which is a fancy way of saying the stuff that people gather themselves on television. I think the BBC is going to be as busy as ever with all that kind of stuff. I think it's also going to be more people are going to access more stuff and get involved in it. But, and this is something that I think is a bit more unpredictable, I do think that many of the big organisations are going to change, if they're smart, to become the verifiers of the information that's coming in, and going to be the voice of authority on it. If they're smart, they're going to do that, because otherwise I think the information industry, the journalism industry, the media, whatever you want to call it, is going to become more and more fragmented. I think as far as newspapers go, I think they are going to really have to change the model and become much more nimble, as some of them have been trying to do. And I think you're going to see a huge rise. I've predicted this for a while in Scotland. I think there's going to be someone very soon that's going to turn up in the scene and is going to write a check and is going to gather together a lot of the people who are involved in the different aspects of the alternative media spectrum. They're going to scoop it up, and I think you will shortly, within a year or two, maybe three, you're going to see a new news organisation within Scotland, which is going to challenge both Scottish television and BBC Scotland. I think because you're starting to see enough momentum and enough weight out there and enough talent. A lot of people are out there, both at the young end of the spectrum and at the older end, who've gone out of these organisations and who still want to be involved.
What kind of organisation? Who is this?
I think it's going to be nimble. It's going to be based in somewhere which is going to be simply like a Silicon Valley startup. I think it's going to involve a lot of talent straight from the...
Do you think or do you know?
I'm not going to even go there.
Do you think or do you know?
I know that this will happen at some point. I'd pretty much bet the short on it, because I've got a feeling there's going to be investment, because at this point it's looking like a winner for somebody, because we have got a huge news consumer market in Scotland which is ready for a change, and people are already reflecting this in their consumer habits in other areas. News is the one area that's kind of stood still.
Stuart, I didn't know you had the cash.
Well, do you know what? Here's the thought.
I didn't know you had the money.
I don't presently, Joanne. But I will soon. But the HuffPo is probably the kind of abbreviation here. The Huffington Post has a business model that pulls together journalists from all over the world. Not all of them are paid cash in the way that you would expect in a kind of feed industry of where's my money. But in actual fact, what they do is they provide to the blogosphere a mechanism for bringing much more traffic back to the individual blogs, which then become monetized through Google Ads and all the rest of it. So that there's a model already out there.
But they're part of a big corporate market, aren't they? Owned by AOL.
They are indeed now, yeah, but they weren't until they were bought. And that's the way this goes. But going back to the first question was about how will the media change? Now, Eamon's already pointed to two or three of those. He's talked about greater mobility. We'll read and consume more on mobile phones. He's talked about the further globalization of of the media. In other words, that we'll no longer respect geo-blocking, you know, and that's what's going to harm places like China and things like that. When you try to block media, you're often found out for one reason or another. And if I want to, for example, I've got lots of reasons why, you know, I travel to Sri Lanka a lot. I like to get news from Colombo, and I want the news from Colombo. I don't want the BBC's version of news from Colombo. I want the news from there, and I don't want to be geo-blocked. And so that globalisation of media, I think, will continue. These new digital media forms that Eamon speaks of are quicker to challenge inauthenticity than ever before. We saw that actually in Scotland, where whatever a news organisation puts out, there are hundreds of people come and quickly challenge it. They challenge the orthodoxy of it, the authenticity of it, the stats behind it, or whatever. And that's a really exciting time to be alive.
Okay, well, let's end on that. Let's finish with this. This is more people consider the BBC an accurate and newsworthy source of TV than any other, but it's not rated as highly as for impartiality as Channel 4. And newspapers are the least popular medium for news, just 30% of people, down 10% in the year. Let's talk about the media that the media doesn't like to talk about. We've got Wings Over Scotland, Bella Caledonia. We've got lots of other types of media. They can get crowdfunding. We've seen that with other online magazines. Is that part of a new future in Scottish broadcasting? But again, I'd have to say they have to be checked as well. People have to check their facts. Well, is this part of it?
Two things I just want to give, just very quickly, because I know Stuart wants to say something here as well. Number one, I think you're also going to see a lot of people accessing their news now in line with the trend that's currently happening at the end of 2015 in the United States on online social media platforms. For example, Facebook. You're going to see people go on Facebook, then go to a news site. That's why the BBC, for example, are involved in a huge project to do essentially Facebook news, if you want to put it that way. That means that the social platforms like Facebook, Twitter and so on are getting into the news business. Now, if you mention that to them, they start to get a bit of a fright, because they think, no, we're a funky kind of Facebooky, nice chat to your friends kind of thing. No, they're not. They're in the news business. That means that they're dragged into media regulation, they're also dragged into law. You can we sue Facebook because they publish something that you would find defamatory, for example? Oh, no, we're only Facebook. Leave us alone. Hang on, you published it. You're a publisher. You're subject to the same laws of the land as a newspaper would be. That's the territory that we're increasingly getting into there. As far as the examples that you've just given over here, they've got to be fact-checked as well. Yes, of course they are. No, nobody's saying for a minute they don't. I think they should all be scrutinised and held to the same ethical standards. That's why the BBC is still very much in the game, and it does a lot of things right, but it also got something wrong, and that was the area that these new voices came forward. They're not always 100% correct. They often, sometimes they've got their facts wrong as well, and it's important that fans of them realise that these polemics and these energetic points of view, however passionately they might feel about them, shouldn't blind them to the integrity of the journalism that they contain. But what I'm saying is that all these websites you refer to, I think at some point a lot of that talent that's been honed there, because the crowdfunding will come and go, some of them will survive, some of them won't. I think a lot of that talent will eventually end up in the marketplace, and I think somebody's going to use that as an investment opportunity.
Yes, I would agree with that. I think when you look at these various different websites, again, you know, there's a tendency to kind of generalise about them and lump them all together, but they themselves have got kind of discrete reasons for existing and whatever. So, for example, if you were to take Wings Over Scotland as an example, Wings Over Scotland to some extent challenges the whole question of partiality and impartiality. It is unambiguously a partisan web presence. It argues for an independent Scotland. It's clearly antipathetic towards Scottish Labour, towards some of the kind of institutions, as it were, of the state, and to obviously institutions of the union as well. There's no question that it is a partisan media publisher, right? However, they would argue that's exactly what the Daily Mail is, or the Daily Telegraph. The Daily Telegraph is a newspaper that is partisan on behalf of the institutions of the state. Now, sometimes it challenges them, sometimes it acts as a kind of supporter of them, in exactly the same way that that Wings Over Scotland does. What Wings Over Scotland does, I think, sometimes very well, and it gets misunderstood all the time as being about this whole thing about cybernat, a term that actually needs to be entirely interrogated, because it's used as a cliche in Scotland. Wings Over Scotland is a, sometimes trolls the web, but that's web culture. If you've been around and you've been on football forums or you've been on political forums, that trolling instinct is there in the web. It's part of the kind of culture of it, in much the same way that a journalist who writes for, I don't know, the Daily Mail can have, attitudes and can have opinions, and the opinions can be sometimes unsavoury. And I think that people that turn around and say, I went on the web and I was disgusted with what I saw or read, you just think, really? Are you really seriously saying that you thought that the web was going to be a pure space that was somehow curated? I just find that extraordinary that people still feel that.
I think it's also interesting just watching the mashup of people from different industries and different technology coming to the media, because the media was not immune from stagnation and from what they thought was settled thinking. And, for example, a lot of the newspaper publishers are definitely open to accusations of fleecing their own companies in some ways by not investing and not actually seeing the large waves that were going to come crashing down on them down the line. And a lot of them are too quick to award the top level of management constant pay rises, but when sales were falling, just cut the staff but ask them to put out a similar quality product. That's why there's been a lot of people laid off. Not because, and this is an important point to make, and anybody listening to this will understand because they enjoy listening to News and Current Affairs, presumably, it's not because there's not a huge demand for serious-minded people to consume serious, considered news and to engage with that and current affairs and other types of journalism. There is a huge consistent demand for that, but I question, and I'm curious, I don't have an answer, but I'm curious about whether the industry sometimes delivers on that. And I think also, I think the reason there's been a huge rise in Scotland for a lot of these different bloggers that we've named, all the Common Space, Wings Over Scotland, Bella Caledonia, Derek Bateman, who's got a huge following, ex-BBC and so on, is because there is a hunger for those voices. And people, I think, are too quick to sometimes dismiss it as simply political activism that pushes those. I think they're actually meeting a demand that was not met by the previous mainstream media. I also think when you're seeing at a global level, someone like Jeff Bezos buying the Washington Post to bring to bear his insight into the marketplace, whatever you think of Amazon, and there's all sorts of pros and cons with them, as we know, but bringing that insight into how you sell new things to people in a new way, and all the technology and the algorithms that back that up, I find that extraordinary as a future, and I'm very optimistic. I'm really keen to see where we're going to go in the next year or two here.
A big challenge, and I think this is a challenge for the BBC and indeed for other other television broadcasters, is that the web is open forum. There's a place where people can publish their views and challenge the authority of views that are out there. I think the BBC, for historic reasons, has tended to be a closed forum. Even a lot of its websites are closed to response from viewers and things like that. And that makes it actually quite a difficult thing for it to thrive in this digital world that we live in.
Okay, as Tony Hall is talking about an open BBC for charter renewal, thank you very much indeed, as always, for your input throughout the whole year, and hopefully we can sign you up for next year before anybody else does, especially this new bunch you're talking about, Eamon O'Neill. Thank you to Eamon O'Neill and Stuart Cosgrove.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jonathan.